It's time for Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott, a show with life-giving conversations that matter. And now, your host, Carrie Abbott.
Speaking of life-giving conversations, we're about to have one. So put on your seatbelt. Well, if you're driving, I hope you have your seatbelt. I happen to know that a lot of you men who are driving during this lunch hour are driving trucks. We have a lot of truck drivers. And so shout out to you guys who are moving materials around. I hope that the Port of Seattle is now going to catch up with some of that production so you can move goods and services and things around for us. But we so appreciate all of you who tune into this radio show. I know some of you listen as you're doing laundry. That's what you've told me. And I really appreciate the fact that you take the time to be part of our listening community. Isn't it great that you can tune into a place where we get to hear from incredible people that God is working in their lives and helping truth become real to us. And today's story is very much that way. I have one of my favorite people on the planet in studio with us, and that is Maria Lancaster with Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park. And she has been on this show a number of times sharing some of the most profound stories that we ever hear. And, you know, Maria's story is one of my favorites, actually, of her own embryo adoption. So first of all, welcome to the studio, Maria.
Thank you.
Always good to have you in studio.
Thank you.
And she gets to do something very fun, and that is to help couples who are wanting to adopt an embryo. And we'll explain that process in a moment. She actually, that's what you do full time as far as work and ministry. Mm-hmm. And you have a special guest with us in studio. Why don't you introduce her for us?
Well, this is Carissa, and she has a very special story to tell that I know will be inspiring to everybody that hears it.
Indeed. And Carissa is here representing her and her husband in their story. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So let's just jump right in. I want you to share with our listeners just the journey that you've been on. Of course, we're grateful for you sharing your story at all. These stories are precious, but they are private. So I appreciate that you're willing to share some of that with us.
Absolutely. So my husband and I, Nat, met and got married in 2000, and in 2003 decided that we would start our family. And I got pregnant right away. And we thought, well, this is great. And then had a miscarriage at 20 weeks.
Wow, that's a very long time to be have gone and then miscarry.
It was. And we were very naive and innocent about the fact that that was even a possibility. You know, mm-hmm. we'd gotten pregnant so easy. We thought, wow, this is great. And it hit us like a ton of bricks.
I bet. I'm so sorry. That's a huge loss.
It was. And we named her. Her name was Sarah.
Good for
you. And we mourned her for a while and then thought, okay, well, we'll just try again and get mm-hmm. pregnant because that's how it's supposed to work. And then it didn't for a very long time. And we started going to a fertility clinic and trying to get some help and got pregnant again. And we're very excited. And then again, miscarried at about 14 weeks. Mm. And it was a little boy this time.
Aww.
And the second one was by far the most devastating because we'd been at this for years.
Yes.
And you don't think that God's going to take two babies from you.
Right.
And
goodness, that's hard. I'm so sorry.
It was very hard. And then we entered what we call the really dark period where we weren't sure what we were going to do and we weren't sure what God was going to do with our lives. And
Taking more risk doesn't always feel very good when you
No.
Not in that area of
no.
life. It's very
difficult.
We
weren't sure. It was so hard to get pregnant the second time. We did some testing of the miscarriages mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and found out that there was some genetic problems. And
okay.
We were advised by our doctors at that point that we would probably not have our own genetic children.
Okay. That's, oh my goodness.
And that was
a loss. That's
it
huge.
Was. Mm-hmm. That was another loss.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hard because then you're left starting all over again from kind of ground zero. Where are we now? What do we do?
Right.
And adoption is the obvious place to go, but you just never think that that's where you're going to end up.
You didn't prepare yourself for that option initially, so it is in a way new, and you have to get your head around that. And let me ask you a question at this time. Were you working full-time?
Yes, I'd been working full-time the entire time.
And tell our listeners what you do.
Sure, I work with the King County Prosecutor's Office. I'm a prosecutor for King County.
So she's not your typical woman who just, you know, has nothing going on. You
no,
probably
I was
lead
very busy.
A bit of a stressful
yes.
life.
Yes, I was in trials and I was investigating cases and I was very busy. And my husband's also a lawyer, so he was busy. And so amidst all of that, we were trying to figure out
so
where
a little
this
crazy.
Was going.
All yes. right. And so then where did that process take you?
It took us a while. We were not on the same page for a while about the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew we were done trying to have our own biological children.
Okay.
And so we started looking at adoption, and we went to a number of, you know, informational meetings and started poking around different options of adoption. But it took us a while to get on the same page and to have the same plans.
What is a while? A month or a year?
Years.
Okay.
Plural. That's,
I want to be clear with people that what I've learned from Maria's story, from other stories that are similar, infertility or having difficulty with biological pregnancies is a very long journey, it seems, most of the time, because you don't just change your mind the next day. Okay, that was fine. Let's just move on then and adopt. You're still devastated. You're still grieving. And then you have all these questions about who are we as a couple.
And what's important to
us. And what's important, right? So I just want people to know, if you haven't stepped into that process or lived through that, it's very grueling. And it really challenges your view of what God has done or allowed in your life. And it really stretches you as people. To be people of faith, to take a risk again, is a big deal.
And it stretches marriages. And we found that to be very difficult. Because, you know, our story started in 2003. It's now 2015. That's a very long story. So we're glossing over, you know, part of the infertility is the monthly meetings and the monthly drugs and the shots and the disappointments that just occur over and over and over, and holding on to hope amidst all that disappointment.
Yes.
That is really hard on women psychologically and emotionally. And you start to hate your body. So there's a physical toll. And then your marriage, I think husbands feel very incapacitated and they don't know how to help.
What do I do?
How do I solve this? Mm-hmm. And they can't.
Yes. How do I fix this?
Yes.
Right.
And then you come to the point where you decide we're done trying to have biological children, and right, you're starting it all over again. What does adoption look like? And then there's options: domestic, international. Do we do foster care?
Right.
And at this point, you're so decimated and you're so disappointed and so you're at such a low place that you're probably not thinking very clearly about all those options.
Right,
and you're not
right.
excited because you've lost your excitement.
Right. And then there's people around you having baby showers.
Oh,
and
geez.
Then there's the question from people, when are you guys going to have kids? And you want to just, you know, hit them.
Yes.
But you can't explain all of these private vulnerabilities. So I appreciate you sharing that, because I always want people to take this process really seriously, that this is a really truly a loss, that the church should be really good at bringing comfort for those who go through miscarriage or infertility, because these are very real experiences. Most of the time do not get preached about from the pulpit.
They're very private.
They are.
Yes.
And rightly so. So again, I thank you for sharing that. So then you reached a point where you determined you needed to do something and were able to do something.
We did. So the last miscarriage was in 2006. 2.5 years later, we finally did a home study. That's how long it took us to figure out what we were going to do and to get on the same page and to be excited about it. And in the fall of 2006, we completed in the fall of 2008, we completed a home study. And then in January, and we did that through Bethany Christian Services, we were going to do domestic infant adoption. And in January of 2009, we got matched with our oldest daughter, who's now 6.
Okay.
And she came home to us in February of 2009.
Congratulations.
Thank you. She's amazing.
I bet. Oh, I wish you could see the smile on her face when she said, she's amazing. Okay. And then what happened?
And then when she was 2, we decided that it was time to have another adoption. And we did a home study, and we're on a waiting list for another infant adoption. And we were on the waiting list for about 6 months, and we got matched with a family, and it fell apart. And that was pretty devastating, because I was still working full time at the prosecutor's office, and we prepared work life. And we had thought about how we were going to talk to our daughter about another baby coming in. And we just weren't sure that we could do the waiting list again.
Yeah.
In the meantime, in that 2 year period, we had heard about embryo adoption through Bethany and had started thinking about that. Had looked at Nightlight, were very fascinated, and I was willing to try again. I was willing to go through that. But it had been years.
Yeah.
It had been a long time of healing. And then the Bethany program was kind of in disarray and was being reorganized at the time that we were going through this process in 2011, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my husband's coworkers goes to Cedar Park and, out of the blue, randomly, not even knowing what we were thinking about, said, have you ever heard of embryo adoption? And my husband said, you know, yes. And she said, well, our church has a ministry that does that. And then that's how we were hooked up with Maria.
I love
that. And
we
met with her that spring. And I think we were matched with a donor family 2 months later.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're hearing another one of the stories that we love to share here. The process of Of the loss that can happen in the biological process, you know, we take for granted that children just happen. And those who do not take it for granted are those who have struggled and who have loss and have babies in heaven waiting. And we always want to bring dignity to those stories because God is a God of life. But because of the fallen nature of the world we live in, not everything works the way it should. And it's a miracle every time a baby is formed in the womb. An absolute miracle. And we want to celebrate that. That's one of the reasons why I love being pro-life. I'm for life because I think it's amazing every single time, but it doesn't always work the way that we want. And yet, this incredible opportunity to adopt an embryo and adopt a life that is already existing and give that life a home is a whole other part of this story. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear the rest of Carissa's story. We'll be right back. Would you like to see ethical vaccines produced for your children and grandchildren? I would, which is why I support the groundbreaking research being done by Dr. Teresa Deischer and her team at Sound Choice Pharmaceutical Institute. Sound Choice is developing ethical alternatives to the vaccines that are now manufactured using cell lines taken from electively aborted babies. Yes, you heard me correctly. Fetal cell lines are being used to make many childhood vaccines, which studies show may be linked to autism and other childhood neurodevelopmental diseases. Get involved by joining me at Sound Choice's annual dinner on Thursday, March 26th at 6 p.m. at the Swedish Cultural Center in Seattle. You will hear about how this crusade has become very personal for Dr. Deischer, whose son Henry was recently diagnosed with lymphoma. To learn more about this organization and register for their upcoming fundraiser, go to soundchoice.org. That's soundchoice.org.
Time magazine recently reported some evangelical churches are changing their views on gay marriage. I haven't changed my mind, and I know the Bible addresses this issue, but I struggle to explain to others why homosexuality and same-sex marriage are contrary to the Word of God and God's design. I need some help.
The Legacy Institute's Relationship Truth for Today, Homosexuality and Same-Sex Marriage resource is the help you need. This easy-to-facilitate resource approaches this important subject in a loving and grace-filled manner by using truth from Scripture and relevant social science data. Parents, pastors, and leaders, this popular resource saves you time and gives you a roadmap to teach the truth. Now is the time to address homosexuality. So get this effective resource today by going to thelegacyinstitute.com or calling 425-485-5346. That's thelegacyinstitute.com.
Hi, this is Carrie Abbott. You know, we're so thankful you're tuning in to hear biblical truth on relationships for the whole family. From the start, our goal has been to encourage and strengthen you as you live in agreement with God's design for you as a man or woman. For this reason, we love to point you to excellent resources to supplement the teaching on this radio show. For a donation of $25 or more to the Legacy Institute, you will be able to select a book as our thank you for supporting our radio ministry. Just go to thelegacyinstitute.com to make a donation and put your book selection in the comment box. Donate today to continue hearing relationship truth delivered with grace. Go to thelegacyinstitute.com or call 425-485-5346. That's thelegacyinstitute.com. Thank you so much for your support.
And now, back to more Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott.
Many of you who are listening to this story want to know right away, and so Maria, I'll have you tell them, how do I find out the details about an embryo adoption? We're going to tell you now how it works, basically. But if you're interested in passing this information on, where should they go, Maria, to get a hold of you?
Okay,
the
we
website.
Have a website that's easy to remember, adoptembryos.org.
Adoptembryos.org.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you can always get information from our website as well, because we will link you on this show. But I know the way our listeners are, they're like, tell me what it is so I can continue to take notes on the story. Mm-hmm. So going back to your story, Carissa, you decided that your husband heard about embryo adoptions. Then what happened? Did you contact Maria?
We did. I think we went through the website and found her email and contacted her. And I will say Maria is extremely prolific on email. She was getting back. She answers those emails
right
away.
That means
right
a lot
away.
To you. You're a lawyer.
It does.
This matters
to me. There was no delay. No, none. And I appreciated that.
I love that.
And so we exchanged emails and then met. We went out to her offices and met and realized this was something we wanted to do. And we had a home study already completed. So she accepted that, which was great. We didn't have to do another home study. And she called, this was in April. She called in May or June and said, I have the perfect family for you. And we were matched in June of 2011.
And incredible.
Then it was. And then we did the first implantation in August of 2011. And my second daughter was born in May of 2012. Our first embryo.
First embryo, yep. First attempt, which is not always, doesn't always work. Let's go to some detail here for people who are new to this. So, Maria, when somebody contacts you and they want to learn more about the process, how do you explain it to them just in a basic way?
Well, in a nutshell, families that have remaining embryos in the freezer after fertility treatments make their embryos available to our program. And we have families that have come to us seeking to have a baby. And so we get some basic information and do a basic match and supply the information to both families. And if they're happy, then we do the legal contracts for them. And then we move the embryos from the donor family's
literally
clinic.
Mail or ship the embryo, the frozen embryo on ice.
Yeah, FedEx to the clinic. Where they,
our little FedEx babies.
Yes. My daughter went FedEx all the way from North Carolina.
Incredible.
At two cells. So it's really a mind-blowing experience.
Yes.
In that regard. But it's fairly straightforward. It's not easy, but it's fairly straightforward.
Now, when you say you match them, you are thinking about what kinds of issues for a match?
Well, a match, what we're actually looking for is people that are like each other. Mm-hmm. Because people that are like each other will like each other.
I like that.
And so we look at commonalities and similarities. We look at body types and we look at, like, we were talking about this earlier. Carice's husband looks like he could be seriously the first cousin or even brother of the donor family.
Is
and
that right?
Was part of the reason why I thought that would be a good match.
Yes.
And then when they all met together at the park, when we had this little meeting one day, mm-hmm. and I was looking at the two of them, and they are like they're
similar.
So similar.
That's
and
great.
That was part of the matching process, is finding people that are closely
related. You're like a colossal matchmaker.
Yes.
Of families, because it really is something you want to use your God-given intuition on placement, in a sense where it makes it easier. So you have mixed race couples. We know we've had different stories on mm-hmm. here. All those things matter. Because mm-hmm. little ones made in God's image want to feel like they, whatever place they're in, makes sense for them. Mm-hmm. The actual implantation of the embryo into the mother, I mean, you had to carry your daughter for 9 months.
I did.
And have that pregnancy experience, which is one of the things that really makes this kind of adoption incredibly unique, mm-hmm. is that it isn't just adopting a baby. You get to experience the pregnancy, which you had a couple miscarriages. So,
but I never thought I'd carry a baby to
right,
term. I never thought that was in the cards.
Was that a healing process for you or scary? Let's be honest here. I think it might have been both.
It was both. It was terrifying for the 9 months, I'll be honest. Mm. It was very healing after she was born.
Okay.
But during it was scary because I'd had these two bad experiences, mm-hmm. and it was hard for me to trust that it was going to be okay.
Mm.
But you learn quickly on this process, and Marina and I have talked about this, that these aren't your children anyway. These are God's children.
Yes.
And so you realize that he has your, not just your best interests, but their best interests at heart, and that he's watching out for these babies.
Mm,
and
that's
that
beautiful.
Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be born alive. Like, we've seen that.
Yes.
But they're God's children. So
right.
Being pregnant was amazing. It was, that part was just, I never thought I'd get the chance to carry a child. So that was amazing.
That's precious.
But it was also scary.
Yeah. I can imagine that it would have been both like that. And it is. Anytime you take a risk as a mother or a father, whether it's biological or adoption, you're risking to love. And that's what life's about. We yep. do it all the time. But in this case, this is a very precious process that there's a lot of care that goes into it. We've heard enough stories that we know not every implantation takes.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the first one did. And then how is the story continued?
My daughter was born in May of 2012. And then in May of 2014, we adopted two embryos. So we had one more that had been, stayed in the freezer,
stayed frozen all of this time.
And so in May of 2014, we decided that we would go ahead and begin the implantation process of that embryo. And on October 1st of 2014, we did that implantation and it was successful. So I'm about 24 weeks pregnant.
You're
with
looking cute.
A baby boy.
Yeah.
So due in June. And that was, it's scary again, but that was just exciting that both of the embryos worked. And I know that does not happen. And
no.
that's
right.
very unique. So this one is a super blessing, if there's such a thing.
Your superhero son. Well, yes. That is really incredible, and you do look fantastic, and you do not seem afraid to me. You seem very, very settled and very content. And I say that intentionally because this process is so unique, again, and having children anyway is challenging. Maria, why is this process of embryo adoption so important for people to consider? I mean, it seems a little out there at first, but then to me, I know it's because I talk about this enough. It seems like such a great idea. We have all these frozen embryos that are real life waiting for adoption. And a lot of these wonderful families that went through infertility processes ended up with more embryos than they could possibly use at times. And they're looking for a place for adoption for their embryos, right? I mean, there's a need out there.
Yes. Well, it meets a need for the donor families. And Carissa's donor family, they have an open adoption, and now they have the blessing of that relationship.
Wow.
And so really, I think the neat thing about embryo adoption is that it's accessible and it's affordable.
Right. It's quite a bit less expensive than other forms of adoption.
It is. It is. And it's we don't have an embryo shortage. We don't have a waiting list. So,
right.
You know, traditionally people who are trying to do traditional or international adoption, you know, they're waiting years.
Yes. For
you
a
know,
baby.
We're talking about a few weeks or maybe a few months at the worst, and have the chance of giving birth to what essentially is your own child. When
right.
you give birth to that baby, that is your child.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. And I mean, I know parents who adopt babies that are already born that, you know, they're children of the heart. So it's
yes.
the same thing.
Yes.
This is your child. So
yeah.
that's not even in question.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has to share their story on our radio show. I want people to know that.
Yeah.
Well, if I go through Cedar Park, am I going to end up on your show? No, even though many do. Because, in fact, at our last True Beauty conference, we had how many families and their babies on the stage all at once?
Seven or eight, you
know. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I feel like the grandmother yeah. to these babies. The fact is that a lot of people process this journey differently.
Mm-hmm.
It may be something that I know, Maria, when you went through it, you didn't tell a lot of people about the intricate details of mm-hmm. your pregnancy.
Correct.
That is not a requirement here.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like, no, it's not something that I know how to get my arms around, mm-hmm. I want you to consider, if you know somebody struggling, or if you yourself feel like, you know, I need to be more open to life and I need mm-hmm. to consider adoption at this stage of my life, I want you to know that there's a lot of ways you can handle your story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for public consumption unless you want it to be. But I can tell you, the people that I've met, including Carissa, the joy on their face and the completeness it brings to their feeling of wanting to expand their family is very real, isn't it, Maria?
It is. It's a wonderful thing.
What's it like for the families who go through the adoption on the other side, where they allow
placing,
you to adopt the embryos?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a process for them, too, because they have to grieve that they are not going to be able to have these children. And so it takes time, and it takes time to make a sound and sane decision to place. So I work a lot with donor families. We meet and have coffee and we talk about it, talk about the consequences, because they need to know that this is different.
It's very real.
It's very real. Mm-hmm. And the born child will be very real.
Yes.
And genetically related to them, but not their child. And
right.
it takes a while to get their brain around that. But the consequences of not doing it would mean be discarding them.
Or using them for research, which happens to some, which is not a good idea.
Right. So it's definitely better than any other option.
Well, and it makes me think of the birth moms who often, and I think are some of the most courageous people on the planet, are those who know my child will exist outside of my relationship with mm-hmm. them, and that takes a lot of courage to do that.
It takes bravery.
It really does. And so mm-hmm. for those of you, again, who may be in that spot thinking, I've thought about what are we going to do, I want you to think about it. And everyone listening to us knows somebody going through a pregnancy story. We all know that because, you know, we talk about it amongst ourselves, or at least in our families. And so I encourage you to prayerfully consider at least sending information about what Maria and her team are doing on this adoption process with embryo adoptions at Cedar Park, because it is a beautiful thing to consider. And of course, there's no pressure. Carissa, did you feel any pressure? Or did you feel like it was just a nice open door to walk through?
It was a nice open door to walk through.
Good. And you are a prosecutor for King County, so it's not like you don't know who you are.
No.
You know, having been through what you've been through, I love it that you and your husband are both lawyers. You made an intelligent decision, but it's a very emotional process.
Very.
So to have to combine the two, You can get all the facts you need.
Absolutely.
And it's not layered in so much emotion that you can't see the good of it. And I think that's important because the whole process is so consuming, isn't it?
It is.
Incredible. Well, Maria, final word from you to our listeners on how to encourage those they love to consider this.
You know, if you go to the net and go to adoptembryos.org, you can send them a link to my website or go to the website yourself and look around and find a page that looks interesting to you and send that link or give them my phone number. And I'll talk to anyone, even to people who are very scared and not really interested.
Yes.
Because I know this is a process.
You've been through it.
I've been through it. And so I know that it's literally you stick your toe in the water to test it to see if this is right. So I'm available to talk.
Speaking of water and frozen water, it is winter time. Souls on Ice, the book that you put together too with all the stories. I recommend that, highly recommend that, because I read it on a plane, cried all the way wherever I was flying to. People are like, what is it with this woman? And I'm like, oh, this is so beautiful. It's just crazy. Because a lot of it is pain to the beauty. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us to be willing to talk about that. Miscarriage is very difficult. It's a loss of a loved one, and we want to validate that and dignify it, but we don't want to stay away from being open to having possibly expanding our families. Yes. And I think that's the part that's so beautiful, is that you took a risk. Carissa, I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
For you sharing your story. We can't wait for the outcomes. And of course, you can always connect back with us and tell us how things are going. Send a little note to Maria. Yes. And I know our listeners love to hear these positive stories. It lifts our day to hear life-giving stories. So one more time on the website,
adoptembryos.org.
And your phone number one time would be great too.
206-391-5042.
All right, great. Thank you, ladies, for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
And the rest of you, pass on the good news. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott. This program is a ministry of the Legacy Institute and is listener supported. Please donate today to keep this program on the air. To contact the Legacy Institute, write to P.O. Box 82746. Kenmore, Washington, 98028. The phone number is 425-485-5346 and online at thelegacyinstitute.com or carrieabbott.com.